Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Andy Troy Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's show is a tribute to Blue Ocean, a fixture in the New York music scene for over 40 years. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's always the right time to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it. So check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com and my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will be on Friday, August 12th from 6 to 10 p.m. at Hudson Terrace, a fabulous rooftop bar with a great view of the Hudson River. We'll have some great drink specials and admission is free. Hudson Terrace is located at 621 West 46th Street. It'll be a great night, so come join us. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, tastingnyc.com. The Andy Troy Show has a fan page on Facebook that contains links to previous shows as well as pictures of all our past guests. Check it out by punching the Andy Troy Show into your Facebook browser. If you haven't heard my animal rescue song, Hoping for Another Morning, you can both hear the song and see the video by going to YouTube and punching Hoping for Another Morning into the browser. My good friend and producer, John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254 and they'll hook you up. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you'd like to promote your goods and or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. Okay, it was about a month ago, about 2 months ago, we had a band called the New York Blues Project on the show. Let's start there. An old friend of mine, John Montgomery, who used to book my band, The Shades of Tracks.
That's right, Andy.
Many years ago, put up with us on several occasions.
Yes, we did put up with you, too.
Yes. Drummed me out of the business. And he was in a band called the New York Blues Project, which we had on the show a couple of months ago. And I got to spend some time with Blue Ocean, who had been mentioned to me for many years by my old guitarist, who also recently, unfortunately, passed away, John D. And I went to see a performance by the Blues Project a couple of times since then. And the last time I went, unfortunately, as I walked in, Blue had just had a heart attack on stage and unfortunately never regained consciousness. So we wanted to do a tribute to him tonight from some of the people that knew him well and played with him over the years. We have Jeremy, is that Bachelor?
It is.
Get close to the mic, Jeremy. We want to hear from you.
How you doing?
And we have Matt Grossman, who I seem to share some interesting connections with musically.
See what happens?
Yes, I do.
6 degrees up, yeah.
Okay. So, how did you guys know Blue? Why don't we start with that? John, you were in a band with him. How did you guys get connected?
Well, we go all the way back in the Maxis Kansas City days when, I guess it was 1972 when I first laid eyes on Blue. And it was very funny because I remember it so clearly. I just looked at him and I said, wow, great outfit. And he looked at me and he said, you're John Montgomery. And he said, yeah. He said, it's a pleasure to know you. And he just disarmed me immediately. You know, he was just the friendliest, nicest, easiest guy. And I knew we were going to be friends. So it was a long time ago when I met him and, you know, ran into him many times over the years. But it wasn't until, you know, the last for the rock, New York Rock Film and Concert Series, where I got to really know him again and work with him again. And then, of course, when we needed a drummer in the New York Blues Project, he came aboard and the New York Blues Project was born.
Now, Matt, you seem to go back a pretty long way with the Blue Man. So how did you get connected?
Well, it was interesting. I first met him in a band called The Awakening that we both played in together. It was led by a bass player named Frank Stokes, who passed away at the end of last year, sadly.
Good band, too.
Very good band. Sort of a Native American jazz fusion band, and it was very hip kind of combo. nine-piece, and I first met him on a rehearsal for one of the gigs, and there was just an instant connection.
So the other guys in the band were also Native Americans?
A few.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
because I know Blue. Well, talk about that for a minute. What was he exactly?
He was a Klamath Indian from Mount Shasta in California, and his parents were raised there. He came here when he was 17 years old. He left home and came here when he was 17. And unfortunately, his parents were killed by the government.
How was that?
Well, they wanted, I believe it was plutonium that was in Mount Shasta, and the Indians owned the land. And so...
And that's how it goes.
Yeah, and that's how the government goes. They get what they want. But Blue never held... He didn't have an anger about it. He realized it was something that just happened. I'm sure he did at the time. But he was already established as a New Yorker. I remember he told me he went back there for the services. But, you know, many people would have been so angry and so full of revenge. He wasn't like that. I can't even explain it. He's above me in that manner. You know what I mean?
Like really the gentlest person
yes.
I've ever met.
Yes.
Yeah, I never had a bad conversation with him, I have to say.
He never had a bad thing to say
about anybody. Anybody, yeah.
Anyone, and I don't know anyone else that I can say that of.
Well, he said some bad things about Jeremy. I remember.
Well, I mean,
I'm the one person he'd speak poorly of.
So, Jeremy, tell us how you got connected with Mr. Ocean.
Unfortunately, unlike John and Matt here, it's not a musical connection. I was actually working at a store on 34th Street, an office supply store that Blue...
He bought like white bread and stuff from you, or what happened?
He bought computers from me.
He bought computers yeah. from you.
I guess he was working in the area, and he was a regular customer of mine. They used to come to the store all the time.
If he was a regular customer, does that mean that they weren't good computers?
That's a good question. No, it was always good computers. He was always coming back for more stuff, printers and all that other fun stuff. But he was just an interesting guy. You know, he'd come into the store and, you know, I'd walk out of my office and couldn't find any of my employees. And it was like, oh, Blue must be here because everyone's gathered around this guy
in
an aisle. And I'm like, all my other customers are trying to get help. And everyone's like just infatuated with Blue Ocean. And that's how I met him.
Okay. And obviously you stayed in touch. How long ago was that, by the way?
The first time I met him was probably about 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I've just been friends with him since. You know, I've hung out with him, and I've basically just became friends from him coming into the store.
All right. I mean, my first memories of him, by the way, were my guitarist used to move bands for a living. And he always told me about this guy, Blue Ocean, who was in a band with a woman named Sandy Beach. I always thought that was just like the best combination of names.
Almost as if they'd done it on purpose.
Yeah, right.
And he also, I used to write for the band that John was in at the time before he got in my band, called White Gold. And Blue used to book bands at the Elgin Theater, and he booked them. So that's, and the article, people could still find the article on nearsay.com that I wrote after his passing, and I included a letter in there from 1977. That he wrote to White Gold about booking them at the Elgin. So, do you guys have any memory of the Elgin thing with him?
Sure. I remember the Elgin. I remember there's a great, absolutely great photo of the marquee that was at the Elgin, which is now the Joyce Theater, which everybody knows for dance. But when it was the Elgin, there's a great marquee with all the acts standing on a ladder and leaning up and touching the top of the marquee with all the names of all the bands, right? And it was Shanghai Surprise and Neon Leon and so many bands at the time. Now, at the time of the Elgin Theater, he had the rights to book it and all the rock and roll shows there, as well as he was a house booker at Max's Kansas City. But one of the great things about it, and one of the wildest stories I ever heard is, and this tells you a little bit about his heart, he not only paid for all the recordings for all the bands, all the plane tickets, all the tour expenses, all the apartment expenses. He told me he went through $1 million after $1 million. He actually earned $1 million and spent $1 million on these bands. How many people today would even think of doing that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's that is pretty unusual.
No, he was
you hear about all the people
guy.
Getting ripped off in the music business.
Yeah, and he was the one with the
and
big heart.
And he got
that,
you ripped you know, on, basically.
Ripped on, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's funny, I've sort of been eulogizing him in my mind for all this time since he passed. And the thing about him is he had this incredible ear for talent. Mm. and he worked with the best people in the business, and he had this very long, very storied career.
Yeah.
And he made $1 million, and he lost $1 million, and he died with his boots on.
Yeah, and doing what he loved.
That's it.
You know, with a group that he loved, you know.
How do you guys feel about that? I've talked to a couple of people that knew of some similar experiences with people. Is that the way you guys want to go? I mean, can you imagine that?
Well, yes, I can imagine. Number one, if they told me that at, you know, doing what you love and what you've been doing all your friggin' life, basically, if somebody was to say, listen, I can guarantee that you would be, you know, you're going to go on stage singing a song, hitting a big note, sign here, I would sign it in a flash, because I don't want to die in bed with my beloved next to me, because that would freak them out forever, you know what I mean? I want to die doing what I love, you know.
And freak me out.
And freak you out.
I wouldn't mind dying in bed, very, very old, asleep.
Oh,
no pain.
You mean old and asleep.
Yeah, old and asleep is fine. Yeah, no, the other way, not so much.
Kenny Rogers and The Gambler. I mean, you know, The Gambler just, like, put out his cigarette, closed his eyes, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, that's the old Western sort of way to go. Yeah.
But failing that with your boots on is pretty good.
Yeah.
How about you? How are we killing you off, Jeremy?
it's sort of weird. Like, you know, as, you know, well, I guess all musicians want to go, you know, on stage doing what they love. But on the flip side of, like, you know, to go and go out in front of a room full of friends and family and
yes,
loved ones.
And family, yeah.
It's sort of, yeah, do you, you know, I kind of second guess that, but at the same time, like, it's almost poetic when you talk about how Blue went. Because, you know, most musicians dream to go out that way.
Yeah, and I'll tell you a story about that night, basically, because it was a very mystical, magical, and very incredible night. You know, the place was filling up, as it always does when we play, and people were pouring in, and we start the set, and we are screaming. We are cranking. I mean, the bass player did a bass solo. He never does a bass solo.
And the audience is quiet.
Yeah. It was like, you know, it was like just everyone was, like, stunned. It was, like, really weird. So we're playing out of our skin. I'm feeling good singing, but I'm looking back at the videos. I'm not smiling. I'm not behaving the way I'm just very serious about something. And then the boys told me afterwards, they said that they saw, both of them saw a light above the stage and a light above the audience. And back and forth the light went. And, you know, you get a little skeptical when you hear things like that, but, you know, I'm a great believer in what comes next, and, you know, and I don't mean heaven, hell, and purgatory, neither. I mean, what's
you mean
next?
When I'm getting my check?
Yeah, there you go. That's it, yeah.
Is that what comes next?
That's what comes next.
It will.
Yeah, in his
show.
World, it comes next, awesome. Not in ours. But so they it was a very connected, electric night, and Blue was smiling, and he was just cavorting the way he did. He was playing up on the, you know, the
taking
ceiling,
a drum solo on
the
ceiling.
On the
yeah.
ceiling and on the pipes and, you know, smile. You could see him in the video smiling like crazy. And it was just on when we started the fifth song, the beat just dropped, and I thought he dropped a stick. So I turned around, and that was when we realized something was serious, you know, something was going on.
And that's like right when I came in.
Yeah, I think we're coming in at that point, yeah, because I just saw you at that point, yeah.
And Toby came over to me, and he's like such a friendly guy. That's your keyboard player.
Yeah.
And he just had a strangest look on his face. And he said, did you see what just happened?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I know what Jeremy's saying. You know, like, you know, when you talk about how you want to go, and I still do want to go on stage, but let's hope it's, I'm so old I have no audience. You know what I mean? But it is traumatic for all the people in the audience. I mean, his wife and I know my girlfriend was right next to her, and Jeremy, who was so helpful and so incredible that night, known through all the nights that Blue was in the hospital, but everyone that was there to see and, you know, this beloved friend, you know, but when you look at and you understand what a beloved man he was and how loved he was, you just know he's safe and he's comfortable and he's loved where he is now.
All right, we've been talking about what made Blue special as a person, but we're going to talk about him as a musician when we come back from commercial, and then we'll hear some of his music. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Marianne Morrison. Join me, uncensored and live, with entertaining and provocative guests from celebrities to world-renowned entrepreneurs with hot topics and hot talk. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, High Definition Digital Radio, broadcasting to the world. Only on the Centani Broadcasting Network. Centani.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Night Recording Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me at email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
Hi, this is Robbie Russell from the Garage Mania Show. 60s, 70s garage psych and funk you can't hear anywhere else. Mixed in with a lot of fun.
This is Nurse Cheryl. Listen to the Garage Mania Show on the Centani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio broadcasting to the world.
Okay, a little feedback from the audience. Someone wrote in, sounds like he was a great guy, what a loss to the world. And someone wrote in, actually writing about you, John. You're getting press. No, John, that was a beautiful thing you said. Blue is safe, lovely. I think blue is safe and you're lovely, I think, is what she's saying. So we'll get you some contact info at the end of the show.
Did she leave her number?
Yeah. All right, so what do you guys think made him special as a musician? Because he obviously played with a lot of people. I know he played with the Monkees at some point.
Yeah, he was hired. He had this wonderful ability to be the right person in the right spot. So he was hired to play behind the curtain for the Monkees when, you know, with a couple other musicians when they didn't play their instruments. He just kind of picked it.
Open for them.
Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, in that while.
Yeah, I know someone who saw that show.
Yeah. So, you know, when he sort of went on, it's the same way, you know, he was in Prophet with guys from the Paul Butterfield band and Donovan's band, who were all reputed great, great, great players. And, you know, when he got the call to do Bring the Boys Home from Bob Ezrin and the great Michael Kamen, who's also, you know, is now the great producer in the sky for all the great musicians that are up there. But when they asked him to get the 30 drummers around, he actually made the who's who in music in America and got on the album, basically. How many people can say they played on a Pink Floyd album? You know, but that was Blue, you know.
Was he in that thing where they had like a million drummers?
Yes. He actually directed it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he told me about that.
Yeah, he got all the drummers in, basically. I think it was 30 drummers, and he got them all to play on the session, and it was really cool. It's just, the song is great.
Where was I when Floyd needed me, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That song could have been a
success. Switching to guitar.
That song could have been a success.
Yeah, I know. Really. That's right. They had to get the Troy name in there. Yeah.
You know, I worked with him in a few different bands, and most recently I was privileged to music direct the Ocean Star reunion.
That's right. Yeah.
Which was a pretty cool thing. And the thing I'll say about him as a drummer is I could always look over at him and get 30% more.
Yeah.
No matter how much we were pumping, I could always just look over, give him that look, he'd give me that look, and 30%. Always.
Yeah, that was that's that magic behind him. I mean, if I was mad at something and, you know, any kind of mistake, I would just turn around and look at Blue. He'd give me this stupid grin, you know what I mean? You couldn't be mad at him. It was really weird. And I have a freaking temper, you know what I mean? So it's not going to be, you're not going to be, you can't even yell at him. You could get mad, and in 2 seconds he'll look at you, he'll make a joke, he'll turn whatever you're saying into a joke, and then you just laugh. So camaraderie is very important in making him the musician he was, because I don't think he ever played with people he didn't like. I don't think he ever hung with people he didn't like. You know what I mean?
You're right.
You know, it's just a part of what he was. What made him so happy to be in a project was his love of the people that he was playing with. That's the best way I can say it. And it also made his drumming fit.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, if it's not fun, you're doing it wrong.
That's right, yeah. When we did the film and concert for the New York Rockers thing, you were musical director for the Ocean Starburn. That's Matt Grossman we're talking to. And it was, you know, the help he did on that, the promotion he did on it, the organization help he did on it, you know what I mean? And the sound of the band was great. We filmed it with a couple of cameras, and, you know, I gave him the CD, the DVD of it, because he's one of the few that got the DVD of it until I make the film. But it was just a wonderful experience working with him, which made me call him immediately for the New York Blues Project when we needed a drummer.
All right, well, let's hear some Blue Ocean. So what song are we going to play here? What do we got there? We're going to play it, and you're going to tell us about it afterwards. How's
sure.
that? Okay, here's Blue Ocean playing drums, and we'll be right back.
Un momentito.
We pause for a brief commercial message. Okay, we're back. We could play the whole tune, but then we wouldn't have time to chat about it, would we?
Yeah, we could do that. We just get different flavors of blues playing. That's the funk element within blues, you know, the blues form with a funk aspect from the New York Blues Project's recording at A&M Studios. And that's Blue kicking with that hi-hat. Matt noticed the hi-hat right away because the hi-hat
is
makes
so him.
The whole... Yeah,
so
exactly.
Him.
It's so him. It makes the whole tune work because it's that rhythm on rhythm.
I'd just like to mention that there's a lot of videos up on his YouTube channel, which is Blue Ocean 7 on YouTube. And so if anyone wants to check him out in various different projects, there's a lot of music to listen to.
Yep. You got him playing percussion with Vince Martell. You got him with so many cool videos up there.
Now, you know the old joke, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. But he actually played at Carnegie Hall, didn't he?
He did, yes. He played behind Alvin in the Alvin Ailey group, basically,
right.
Because I don't know if it was a connection from the Elgin into the Joyce or whatever. I don't know how it happened, but he actually played at Carnegie Hall with the directors of the Alvin Ailey dance company. And he enjoyed the heck out of it. First of all, he was playing Carnegie Hall. That's number one. And number two, he said playing for dancers was very unique and very interesting. And very beautiful, you know, so he really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you mentioned Vince Martell, who was actually, we had a little event for him, as you know, to organize on Saturday night.
Right.
And Vince Martell was the guitarist for the Vanilla Fudge.
Vanilla Fudge,
he was there. What did he do with Vince?
He played with Vince. Did a series of shows on an East Coast tour, and I knew Blue was the percussionist. He was called up to do percussion, both at the BB King's, and I think one or two other places too on the East Coast that Blue could get to. But Vince would always call him, and the percussion would already be on stage set up, so we just had to come up and play the percussion. So it was already a part of that. Vince and him go way back. Yeah.
So it's basically Blue and Carmine Appice, huh?
Something like that.
Yeah. Right.
So, who? Speaking of which, there's another drummer. Whose style would you liken him to? Because you guys played with him. What would you say he was
honestly,
like?
Honestly?
Yeah.
He really wasn't. And that was one of the interesting things about him. Like, no, I don't really know anyone that played drums like him. He was really different.
Yeah, he was. He was. It's hard to pin anybody. I could say Mitch Mitchell at times.
Mitch Mitchell, definitely.
Yeah.
But not really. I mean,
because he was more beat than the rhythm. You know, especially if you turn around, when I turn around saying hit harder,
he'd smile.
He'd smile. He'd be like, okay, I got 30% more for
right.
you. No problem.
Yep.
Also, he had a really distinctive swing
to his
playing, where like most rock guys don't swing the way he swung.
Right.
And there was if you listen to any of his recordings, there's a really distinctive feel to them, and that's him.
Yeah.
Now, do you think any of that came down to his ethnic background? How much do you think that played into the way he played? Because American Indians had a long history of percussion, and
sure,
it's a big part of their ceremonies and
what
lifestyle.
What do you think, Jeremy?
I think, yeah, it probably played a big part in his rhythm and his style.
Yeah, maybe. It's as much as it plays in anyone's, I guess. I mean, he was such an iconoclast, though. There was not another person like him in the world.
No.
So, I mean, I can't imagine a whole tribe of people playing like that.
No. You know, it's a statement of any man and how you, with your time on Earth, how you change the world. You know what I mean? And if you look at the way that Blue changed the world in his just communicating skills and his love of his fellow man, it's just spectacular, and that's the loss that we feel because people don't come along like that too often. Even you know him a short amount of time, even though you might have met him before, but you got to know him recently, and you feel it. You know what I mean? It's amazing.
He really had an effect on a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
And he started that group on Facebook, and he would just get on there to say, you know, have a good day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, or peace, or rock it to the max, or, you know, it's just... He was the only person, you know, everybody else can be freaking annoying on Facebook and send you things over and over and over.
So you're getting my stuff then?
Oh, yes.
Yes, oh, yes, we're all getting it. But no, we don't mind you neither, Andy. Pay us later. But anyway, it was just a pleasure to hear from him because he always had a good thought for you, and you didn't get that from other people.
I certainly don't.
Yeah.
Well, now I understand that he was known for his smoking breaks at rehearsal.
Yeah. These I got to tell you what we would, and I would look forward to these because it didn't matter what kind of a mood you were in, and I could bring some mood to a rehearsal. It wouldn't affect my singing, but when we got to the point where in between, you know, I'd say let's take a 5-minute break. I'd say, Blue, let's go out and have a smoke. Now I was smoking cigarettes at that time, and he was a lifelong smoker. So we'd go out in the hallway, and nobody else would come out there. It was just him and I. And he'd just start cracking jokes. He'd start talking. We'd talk. He'd say, what's going on? He'd make a joke. And before I'd walk back in rehearsal, I'd feel like $1 million. And so I started to look forward to that because it would take the length of that cigarette and maybe a half a can of beer to get past whatever problem I had because he would make it. You know, I mean, you just laugh about it.
It was sort of impossible to not have a good time playing with him.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
smoking with him, apparently.
Smoking with him, yeah.
Well.
Exactly.
Well, we won't get into that in too much detail. But anyway, so we're going to actually go to a break again shortly. And when we come back, I want to hear more about the Max's theme, because he was booking that with some pretty interesting acts.
Sure.
Some of whom I knew in the old days.
That's right.
And then we're
going to
hear some more of his music. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Centani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital stereo.
Broadcasting to the world. Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com. That's GIAMONDO.com. Or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian-American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out GIA on the internet at www.giamondo.com. GIA newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
If you love jazz, check out These Things We Dig, a new CD by jazz sax, flute, and clarinet recording artist James Aldean on Sexton Records. James Aldean has recorded 7 CDs for Sexton Records and appears regularly in the New York metropolitan area, including the great venue, the Whiskey Cafe. These Things We Dig features some of the best jazz and bebop styles, with James fronting the band, complemented by such great players as Mike Cornella, Phil Jones, Bob DeBenedette, Ron Naspo, and Wayne Dunton. You can get this new CD from Sexton Records by going to www.sexton.com. That's C-E-X-T-O-N.com. You can find out more about James Aldean at www.jldeanorchestra.com. For the best in jazz is Sexton Records, the audiophile jazz record label. Sexton.com.
Hi, this is Robbie Russell from the Garage Mania Show.
This is Nurse Cheryl.
Listen to Garage Mania Radio on the
Shitani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital audio. Broadcasting to the world.
Someone just wrote in, I'm teary-eyed, wish I knew him. Well, this is allergy season, so I would recommend some Claritin.
Yeah. Anyway. Or a couple of shots of Irish whiskey.
There you go. Yes. There we go, the musician's way. Yeah.
Yeah.
It cures everything.
I went to bartending school so I could write you a prescription for a Long Island iced tea if you want.
Medicinal purposes only.
Yes. Don't try this at home. So, anyway, so I know he did a lot of work with the bands at Max's, and there were some interesting people that came out of Max's. We were talking the other night about the Shanghai Sideshow.
Yeah.
Yes, we were.
Which was this metal band playing behind this bizarre Australian magician named Jeffrey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little about them, guys?
Well, I didn't know that band, but The Awakening, which was the band I met Blue Ocean in, was led by the bass player, who was also the bass player for Congress, another band that we'd been talking about just a minute ago. And so it's funny talking to you about this, because it's like the circle comes back around, you know?
Also, Neon Leon in those days, who was a big New York star, who now spends his time in Hawaii, Germany, and Sweden. Neon Leon was a talented cat, you know, a brother that worked with Blue in bands and also was promoted by Blue in those days at Max's because he was an in-house booking agent.
One of the wildest stories I heard from Max's was Moogie Klingman, who was on my show.
The Moogster.
Moogie was on the show about a year and a half ago, and I had told him, I mentioned that I saw Springsteen open for Ann Murray at a Schaefer Festival, and he said he could top that. He said he saw Hendrix, I think it was Hendrix and, he saw Springsteen and Bob Marley on the Wailers.
I was there that night.
On a double bill at Max's.
I saw Moogie there, actually. I was there that night, because I knew Moogie was going way back. And I think I told you the story the last time when, you know, I was going up the stairs. I was meeting this woman downstairs, a date. She was waiting at the bar downstairs. And the guy that, you know, would greet everybody at the door said, "Oh, Johnny, you got to come up and hear this. You got to see this band, you know." So I jumped in, and I see this bearded guy and the wife beater, and he's telling these tales of the Jersey Shore, and I'm loving the shit out of it. You know, it's like incredible. And so after the show ends, you know, I said, "Wow, who the hell was that?" He goes, "This guy's name is Bruce Springsteen." So I'm walking out, and he says, no, you got to hear the next act. I never heard anything like it. I walk back in, and in comes these brothers with dreadlocks and stuff, and they start doing something. It's not the 2-4 beat. It's the 1-3. Of course, I didn't figure it out right away. I said, what's different about this? Because I'm going like this. Instead of, you know, back and forth, instead of...
It's the kick drum.
Yeah, exactly. So when it was done, it was Bob Marley and the Wailers in Springsteen on one night. But I remember Moogie being there.
Yeah, he said there were like 30 people, and I've had 2 of them on the show.
Yeah, I think so,
We got to get those other 28 people in here. My friend Maria, who knew Mr. Ocean 2, just walked in and is visiting with us. How are you, Maria? You missed half the show.
Hi, Maria.
You will be penalized. We charge for late... You will be penalized for lateness. We are cruel but fair. Okay. So, Jeffrey, that band was pretty wild. I was telling a story that... It was the bass player, not the guitarist, who had this hose behind his guitar.
Yeah, that was Frank Stokes.
Right.
And he would turn it and let some gas out periodically, and Jeffrey had all these candles on stage.
He had a flamethrower on his bass.
And whenever he would get near the candle, like a fireball would go up, and no one knew where it was coming from in the audience, right?
When I was playing with him in the early 2000s, he still had scorch marks on the back of the neck of his instrument.
Yeah.
Crazy.
How many guitar players can say that?
Well, Hendrix...
I have no answer. I have no answer to
Hendrix
that question.
Put them on the front of his instrument
on the front
himself.
Yeah, exactly.
But then you also mentioned Congress. Their singer Marilyn actually auditioned, or called me to audition for my band at one point. So it's odd that I knew both of these people, sort of. But what were they like?
They rocked pretty hard.
For a so-called punk band. Yeah, they rocked harder than a punk band, yeah.
And she used to perform with a pretty wild character named Von Elmo, right?
Yeah. He's still around. He still does shows at Outer Shrunken Head and around. And he's still pretty much the same act.
Doing the same thing,
It doesn't change.
Maybe I should get Von Elmo on who's the guy who did the marijuana song again?
David Peel,
that's what we need. We need Von Elmo and David Peel and really get thrown off the air.
Sounds like a party.
But now we got Fingers Del Rey with the new marijuana song. Where did you hear it?
We got to get him together with Ian, because Ian Lloyd does a lot of marijuana music.
Yeah. Yeah, we do, actually. Yeah, that'd
I'm
be a good
actually
show.
The guitar player
Call
in Ian's
Call it the
band.
Marijuana Show.
Yeah, oh, that's right. I forgot. I saw you last month at...
That's right.
At... Kenny's Castaways playing with Ian.
That's right. He won the...
Was it Oda Poe, I think?
Yeah, he won... It was a couple of years ago, the Global Marijuana Music Awards.
That's an honor.
Yeah, that is.
I've been striving for that. It's why I joined his band, really.
So you're kind of a pod groupie, is what you're saying.
What?
Right. It's great when you can be a groupie and not remember any of the things you've done.
Where am I?
Right. That's what I'm trying to say. That's good. What I'm talking about.
By the way, you know, upstairs at Max's was this phenomenal poster of Blue. I don't know who painted it. Do you know who did?
I have no idea.
But it hung up there for years and years and years. I mean, it's a big poster with a double shot of Blue in it. And at his life celebration, it was on an easel. Remember, we put it on an easel, and everybody was stunned. I mean, they didn't know it was hanging at Max's for all these years. But I would see it and say, how did he do that? You know, but he could have just talked his way into it because that was what he was, you know. The guy said, I like you, put it up, you know. Funny guy.
A good schmoozer is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, he's natural. It's just love.
Okay, we're actually going to play another tune, and then we will get some commentary from the boys in the band here when we get back. You know, have a tune queued up for us there, Betty. We don't need any dead air. It'll be very disappointing to my audience. Let me know when you're ready.
I woke up this morning, found my good girl gone. I woke up this morning, found my good girl gone. She knows I'm a bad man, but I've been down too long. Yeah.
Okay, as you hear, we're just teasing people with samples here.
That's all we need. Right? That's Gogon Blues. That's an old Delta Blues that I wrote for the New York Blues Project. And the great thing about this is we're doing that in my studio, and we wanted to keep it really Delta and clean and like old blues, and it's off time. It's not straight 12 bar. So we had Blue come in and play The Egg, right, because he played it live on stage. And if you play The Egg, you know, if you mishit an egg, the time is so off, it's ridiculous. Well, he came in, he said, run the track.
Can't you just get an egg timer?
An egg timer,
those
yeah.
things are actually right. really hard to play.
They
right.
are hard to play, yeah. So we ran the track, he said, play it. He put the headphones in, went to the microphone, and he did it in one take. I said, how do you do that in one take?
Blue is timeless.
One take. Yeah, he's timeless and time on, man.
All
but
right.
it was a great track, and that's just the simple little piece in there just makes it work because it's just this, you know, it's just fabulous stuff.
Now, where can people get this music if they're interested?
Well, it's going to be finishing the album in about after we do the big show that will also be a mini tribute to Blue at the Long Branch Jazz and Blues Festival on August 27th. The New York Blues Project goes on at 5:30. And it's right on the beach in Long Branch. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful weekend. And Blue is a member of the New Jersey Blues organization. So they were beloved of him. So they're going to help do a tribute to him. And we're going to dedicate the set. And our new drummer from television who is taking Blue's place respectfully will do our debut with us, the great Billy Ficca.
Okay. Well, we have brought in a special guest. Maria, we can't have a show on Sintani without an Italian girl for at least 30 seconds. It's a rule. So, Maria, you actually lived with Blue, didn't you?
Well, he lived with me.
Get closer to the microphone.
He lived with me, Andy.
Oh.
He needed a place to live after he lost his apartment up on 50-something Street.
56th Street, yeah.
Yeah, and he called me up, and he knew I had space. I have 5 rooms, rent controlled.
I'll be right there.
Magic
yeah,
words.
Will.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'll all
right?
be right there. There's a line.
And
so.
I said, absolutely. I know he was a lot of fun. I always had fun with him, so I said, how bad could this be? And it really wasn't. He's still the best roommate I ever had.
Yeah.
I live alone.
So it was basically a choice between him and no one. And out of those two,
he won.
Okay, good.
And guys, if you could see her, you should start applying right now. She said she lives alone, so, you know.
Yes.
Oh,
we're going to start applying things to her in a moment, so. Well, tell us, what made Blue a great roommate?
He's just light and breezy and lots of fun. You know, I sing.
There's a Carole King song in there somewhere.
I know. So we had that in common. We had that common denominator of music.
Creative.
Yeah. And just the child in him, because I'm an endless child. You know, I'll never grow up. And the two of us really had a lot of fun. He had a night shift. I had a day shift. And somewhere in between, they lapped over.
Now we know why you got along. You never saw the man.
That's right. But, like, one of the highlights, we'd have the music on in, like, the living room. He'd be in his quarters. I'd be in mine. Favorite song would come on. The two of us would come barreling out. We'd sing and dance and jump around like crazy people. And then we'd just go back to where we were and what we were doing.
That sounds like a movie scene. It does, when you think of it.
And what years was this?
This was in the late 80s.
Late 80s.
Yes. The late 80s. And he was just a joy. We did a lot of hanging out together. We did a lot of not hanging out together. And he would still call me at home saying, Minnie, you got to see this.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. So we now know that Blue was someone who could live with a woman and not see her and get along fine.
It's funny. I went through, I think, three or four girlfriends. He moved in with one. She left after the first week, but they, you know, we were all still friends. Then there was Betsy. Loved Betsy. She was a walking circus. Then there was Susan, who was a little more grounded, a lot of fun, but I don't know what the hell happened to that. And then I think after that, sometime a few months later, he moved out, and, you know, our lives sort of went in different directions for quite a while, unfortunately.
Oh. Okay. Well, another tidbit that someone enlightened me to is that Blue played another instrument. I believe he played the cello.
Yeah, he started out as a cello player, yes. Actually, he played guitars. He played, you know, when you're musical, you could jump to any instrument pretty easily. And I remember he would pick up a guitar every now and then and just play it, basically. But he did start out as a cello player, and I think it was a friend of his father's that gave him a drum. And I think that just called to him, you know.
All right, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk a little more Blue, play a little more music, and wrap things up. We'll be right back.
This is Ivy Love from L.A. to the U.K. www.ivylovemusic.com. High definition digital radio broadcasting to the world. Centenni Broadcasting.
Hi, my name is Jerry Barnett, and you're listening to the song Absence by the group The Virgin Mary. This song is available at iTunes and CD Baby. Enjoy!
Do you love great homemade Italian food? Do you hate the long wait at fancy restaurants or the overpriced menus? Then check out Giovanna's Restaurant on the Upper East Side, East Harlem, at 1567 Lexington Avenue between 100 and 101st Street. Giovanna's has fine homemade pastas, meat dishes, artisan pizzas, all handcrafted by Master Chef Enno Davino. Giovanna's also features a selection of over 200 wines. Experience great food, friendly service, sensible prices, and no long waits at Giovanna's. Local delivery is also available. Call 212-360-6300 for more information. Giovanna's Restaurant is just three short blocks north of the 6th train 96th Street subway station. Street parking is also available. Centenni Broadcasting loves Giovanna's. That's why we broadcast live from here. Check out Giovanna's Restaurant at 1567 Lexington Avenue between 100 and 101st Street. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, we're back. We were enjoying some inside jokes while we were gone.
By the way, I got to give a shout out to Giovanna's restaurant because the food here is friggin' spectacular.
Okay, so they got two commercials in a row. That's pretty good. Mm-hmm. How are you enjoying your water around that?
It's the best water I have ever tasted.
New York water.
Well, New York water is supposedly the best.
It's Italian New York water.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to hear another tune. So, Matt, why don't you tell us about this one? What is it? We'll get closer to the microphone.
This one should be Ocean Boogie. It's from the original Ocean Star Band, which he recorded this back, I think, in the early 80s, maybe 81 or something.
It actually features Jordan Rudess on keyboards, who's awesome keyboard player. When I music directed the reunion of the band, I had to get two keyboard players to cut his parts.
Okay. Well, I like a good keyboard player. Let's check this tune out, and we'll be right back. Again, we torment the audience with half a song.
That's right.
That was Ocean
half.
Boogie.
Yeah.
Okay, now, what was this band again?
It was the Ocean Star Band. That was the band you were talking about before. I believe that was Sandy Beach on vocals.
Yes.
That was Sandy Beach.
Yeah.
I finally got to hear Sandy Beach.
You see?
After all these years.
And you hear the swing in that, too?
This recording actually never got released. I only have a copy of it because I had to music direct the band last year.
Right.
So no one's ever heard this before. This was it. If you want to play the other one that I was telling you about, track one from that CD.
All right, let's check out a little more of another Blue Ocean related to
another side of him.
I got 56th Street. I say cabaret blues. I got 56th Street.
I said cabaret blues. You can have it, baby. You can have it too. I'll tell you how you doing. I got 56th Street. Cabaret blues. 56th Street. Cabaret blues. Hey, you can have it, baby. Just like I do. Let me tell you how. Now bring it on down. First you go down to the trip ball, order yourself some gin. Then you go down, order yourself a double, round the corner to the possible 20. Up to the Coliseum, into the park, after dark of 56th Street, 56th Street. I said cabaret blues, I said 56th Street, I said cabaret blues. You can have it, baby, I can have it too.
Okay, Sandy Beach's voice got much deeper.
That was actually Blue Ocean singing. Yeah,
was that Blue?
That was Blue Ocean singing. That was his voice.
Okay.
Yeah, we heard a little Sinatra in that too, yeah, you know what I mean?
I was going to ask if he sang as well. Is there anything he didn't do? Did he restring your instruments or what else?
No, he would not restring them. He made me do that.
Right.
So he was able to force other people to restring instruments. That's good. Okay. Well, we've got a couple of minutes before we wrap things up. Where are you guys going to be playing? I know you're breaking in your new guy. You guys have any shows booked you want to?
The New York Blues Project will be at the Long Branch Jazz and Blues Festival on August 27th, right on the shore. Big stage, big crowd, 50 booths, fireworks at the end of the night. We'll be there with seven other great blues acts. And we'll be on the 5:30 spot, 5:30 to 6:30, and we're going to rip it up good in honor of Blue as well as the organization will do it. And I just want to say before I bow out here is that Blue was one special mother blanker of a cat that affected us all and brought people together from the moment he was placed on this earth. And he'll be in my heart forever.
What do you have to say, Matt? Keep it clean.
Look, he really touched a lot of people's lives, and I was really privileged to have known him.
Yeah.
Okay. What do we have to say for you there?
Yeah, I think it's been a privilege and an honor to know Blue and be here tonight and in his honor and in his memory. It's really inspiring. He's inspired me to play music again. But.
Okay.
And to his beloved lady, Donna. For you, Donna.
Well, we're appropriately going out with my 80s band, The Shades song, When You're Gone. We will miss you, Blue. We'll see you again next week.